From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Peter Biello, filling in for Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. In almost every New Hampshire legislative session for the past two decades, a bill for marijuana legalization comes up, and often it comes close, but not close enough. Now, a special commission is studying the issue, meeting again today. Meanwhile, voters in neighboring states said yes to allowing recreational use almost 2 years ago, but getting from referendum to reality has been a lot slower than many expected. Today on The Exchange, checking in on marijuana legalization. And later, we'll kick off our Race for the First series, introducing you to candidates from New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District. Let's hear from you. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or best of all, give us a call. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Again, that's 1-800-892-NHPR. NHPR's Dan Tuohy is with us today, and in a few minutes, we'll hear from reporters in two other New England states who've covered this issue. Dan, thank you very much for being here.
Happy to be here.
So we're going to start by talking about marijuana policy in the Granite State. Marijuana legalization has a long history here in New Hampshire. Dan, remind us just how long we have been talking about this.
Well, depending on whether it's limited legalization or medical marijuana decriminalization, it's been going on for 25 plus years, really. The first decrim bill, I think, was in 1997. Governor Hassan signed the medical cannabis bill in 2013. So this is an issue or debate that comes up. And every time you talk about cannabis in any form, there's a lingering part of the narrative. It's about, all right, let's legalize it. Now is the time, or question mark, is now the time to legalize it.
Mm-hmm. And since it's been going on for so long, you've been covering it for a long time. How have you seen the debate change over the years?
It's been fascinating when you look at the bills over the years, again, from 97, 98 on. Since really that time, there's been, I think, 4 years in which there's been only 4 years in which there's been no pot bill or decrim bill or you name it. And in the mid-aughts, like 07, 08, there was a flurry of activity, including from the late Representative Steve Valancourt, a Republican representative from Manchester who brought these bills to the floor a number of times, and he would give his Reefer Madness speech talking about that propaganda film and what it was and what marijuana is and what it isn't. And so he really helped spur the debate as well. And it's really been percolating in every session since.
Mm-hmm. And has one party more than another led the charge on marijuana legalization?
No. As I mentioned, Steve Valancourt was a Republican. Democrats have gotten in the mix. Really, when you look at the polling as well on this, it's pretty fascinating. It's pretty bipartisan, including the UNH Survey Center polls. The most recent one in February talking about a bill, 56% supported. 61% of those were Democrats, 56% were independents, and Republicans were 49% supported that bill.
Mm-hmm. And what about past and current New Hampshire governors? How have they felt about marijuana legalization?
They have steered clear of it as in opposing it. They've obviously gotten the ear of the Association of Police Chiefs and Enforcement over the years. Governor Sununu holds true to that pattern. He is against legalization of marijuana for adult recreational use. And really, the legislature has not given any of these governors a bill to either veto or sign. So it's one of those things where it's been a fight in the House. The House passed a couple of bills for legalization, and the Senate rejects it. So it's a pattern there as well.
So maybe before we get too far into this discussion about Granite State policy, you could brief us really quickly on what the policy is right now. I mean, we do have medical marijuana.
We do. Again, 2013 was the medical marijuana law, and that, of course, takes some time to write the regulations. The first card was issued in 2015, 2016, the first dispensaries. There are four medical dispensaries in the state. There's actually a pending bill to add a couple more, one to the North Country and one for like Cheshire County way. September 2017, a bill that Governor Sununu signed decriminalizes possession of small amounts of marijuana, up to three-quarters of an ounce of marijuana. That's a very significant piece. As I mentioned, there's been a flurry of bills. You know, there's been more than 80 bills that I counted since 1997 that have dealt with marijuana in some form. And there's been just a slew of decriminalization bills in New Hampshire. And that was a big bill. But, you know, legalization of marijuana for adult recreational use for 21 and older has really started to, in the past couple of years, sense cannabis. And, you know, I'll speculate that you know, it's part of the debate. Every year this is a debate about cannabis, and there's more and more states that have jumped on board. There's now 8 states in the District of Columbia, and, you know, this whole debate about Massachusetts and Maine, of course, and we'll hear about that later. There are representatives here in Concord that point out we're surrounded by states that have some sort of legalization for marijuana for adults.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, we'll talk about Massachusetts and Maine later on in the show. Important to note, too, that if a state legalizes, it doesn't necessarily mean that they've automatically got the mechanism in place to sell it.
Exactly. I'll be fascinated to learn what's going on in Massachusetts and Maine. It takes time to write laws, you know, and to if you can have an oversight, depending on how limited or how expansive legalization is. You know, the Vermont's bill is a little bit or a lot different than Massachusetts and Maine. In New Hampshire, the House did pass a bill to legalize marijuana back in January. The House sent it to a committee. The committee recommended that it be studied, effectively killing it. But that bill would strip a commercial market from the legislation. It would just allow for limited possession and growing of up to 6 plants.
Mm-hmm. You've done some reporting on how the decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana in New Hampshire has affected the way the police do their job. How has this changed the way the police work?
That was a fascinating testimony. The study commission heard from the state's forensic laboratory about what they do and all the various controlled drugs that they test for. And they don't, these experts in the lab, they don't just test for it. They often go to courts to testify in drug cases. So when the state decriminalized marijuana, up to 3/4 of an ounce, their demand for participating in these cases dropped. And you know, the director of the lab was talking about how he can devote or dedicate more resources to bigger cases. Bigger cases of marijuana, for example, and opiates and all the rest of it. So it's been a dramatic reduction in the number of cases. If you look at the bar graph, Peter, it's significant. It's this is not year to year. This is since September. It'll be really fascinating to watch what happens year to year.
Mm-hmm. And now the state is convening a study commission to look at the possible effects of legalization in New Hampshire. How did the state end up with a study commission like this?
It's fascinating to watch. Like, again, the debate has been bubbling here for years. There was a study commission in 2015 that would do something similar. The House killed that. So, you know, 2 years later in 2017, they create this commission by a bill, HB 215, I believe it was. And that was a bipartisan bill. It was Rennie Cushing from Hampton was one of the sponsors. He's a Democrat. Senator John Reagan from Deerfield, he's a Republican. They were two of the sponsors. And they just want to look at legalization, regulation, taxation, all that goes into that big soup, whether taxation, law enforcement. If the state were to do it, who would regulate it? It's quite complicated when you look at the whole scheme of it and comparing what other states have done, their challenges, their successes, and some of their issues that they still see.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello, filling in for Laura Kanoi. If you'd like to weigh in on the state's marijuana policy, if you think we're on the right or wrong track as a state, give us a call. The number is 1-800-892-6477. You can also email exchange@nhpr.org. And let's talk to Mike in Concord. Mike, thank you very much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Yes, hi. I've noticed that New Hampshire has had a trouble with keeping its younger demographic from not fleeing to other states, where in this case, I feel marijuana legalization would really help bring back a lot of the younger kids that have left and really initiate a young kind of lifestyle in New Hampshire that has lacked for many years.
Mike, would you consider yourself a young person?
I am 23.
Okay. And do you and your friends talk about this as a reason to stay or leave New Hampshire?
It is actually one of the reasons why I have in recent months been looking to move out of the state and set up in a state where I can work in a legalized environment.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much for calling. So Dan, Mike was saying that there's a sort of, youth drain question here. Is that marijuana policy, if done right, could keep young people here? Is that something that you hear often when you're covering this as a reporter?
I have not. I've heard it not on the beat, but I've heard it from other people suggesting that anything to keep the young people right. I guess, the state is graying quite significantly over the next decade. That hasn't come up during the commission meeting. The commission meeting they've really been quite workmanlike in terms of reaching out to other states that have done this. And really, they're not even close to forming any recommendations. This will most likely come up. What has come up, and the chairman has asked about getting some data from the Department of Education in terms of youth usage of marijuana. We do have some data already, of course, but they're looking at all right, what happened in other states that have legalized it in terms of youth usage spiking and perhaps ER visits, for example, depending on what the substance might be. So that will be coming up. But as employing young people and cannabis as a part of the New Hampshire Advantage, that has yet to come up.
Okay. So regarding that study commission that the state put together, who is on that commission? Who's looking at marijuana policy and how it might affect New Hampshire?
There are four state representatives, two senators. There's some notable expertise on the panel, including a gentleman from the state police, James Vara, a senior assistant attorney general. He's on the commission. We have expertise from state departments such as Department of Revenue Administration. For example, if the state were to legalize and tax, what would it would mean for tax revenue for the state of New Hampshire? There's someone from the Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Foods. There's Dr. Stuart Glassman, for example, from representing the Medical Society. Richard Mello, the police chief from Lebanon, he's representing the Association of Police Chiefs. So it's a variety of people. There's Kate Fry, who's an opponent, she's with New Futures, which is against marijuana. And that is to no end aggravated Matt Simon from Marijuana Policy Project, who argued early on that his side should have better representation on the commission. However, the chairman has reached out to Matt Simon and Rick Naya from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and they have spoken at least a couple times to the commission.
And so it seems like, or maybe I should ask it this way, is there anybody on the commission that is clearly pro-legalization?
I'm not sure if that's, there's a couple of people that have been open-minded about it, definitely. But at this point, I think including the chairman talked about, let's step back and do an objective job here and gathering the info.
Mm-hmm. You've attended a lot of these commission hearings. What are some of the issues that come up again and again?
Regulation. I think a lot of commission members are wondering what other states have done in terms of how they proceed with it. What are their challenges? What does this do to the black market for marijuana? Does it tamper it? Is there a gray market that, depending on how they tax it or how, I think that you'll see perhaps some states rework their tax rates given states that have legalized rework their tax rates to make sure that they're not in any way bolstering a black market for marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Other issues like how would it work? That we did hear from the New Hampshire State Liquor Commission talking about. They weren't advocating for this, by the way, but they were inquired of the commission, if the state of New Hampshire were to legalize it, could you, in fact, oversee this? And the commission said yes. And the state of New Hampshire is a liquor control state. So when they look at this, they look at industry trends from coast to coast, and they see some of their colleagues, like Alaska, for example. They have a liquor and cannabis commissions. So it'll be quite a lot more resources for the state of New Hampshire. For the Liquor Commission or whatever agency is put in charge of a hypothetical legalization, including staffing. I'm sure there'll be greater law enforcement attention as well.
Mm-hmm. Kate Fry is president of Advocacy for New Futures, and she spoke on The Exchange back in November about her concerns for commercialization of marijuana.
Once big marijuana moves in, just like big alcohol, then you have pot shops in your neighborhood. You have highly potent edible products targeted towards kids. So I think we really, as a state, need to have a full discussion about what the commercialization of marijuana means.
Full discussion of commercialization of marijuana. Is that exactly what this commission is designed to do?
Yes, that's their charge: legalization, regulation, taxation of marijuana. They have a year in which to do their work. They report back November 1 with their recommendation, or recommendations plural. And they're hearing from all sides, including they'll probably hear again from some police investigators and prosecutors on what has happened in the state of Washington, for example, or Colorado, and more medical people, and really looking at like how this would work.
Mm-hmm. And are we talking, I mean, Kate Fry just mentioned there, big marijuana, or is this going to be smaller operations spread out throughout the state? Is that a possibility as well?
I don't think we know yet. You know, the bill that passed the House back in January, it was, again, it was no taxation in that bill. They stripped that language from the bill. It was a home grow bill, as they call it, with the allowing up to a small possession of marijuana. We don't know. And that came up during the Liquor Commission when they testified before the commission, Peter. They talked about, well, it was a question, rather, put to the Liquor Commission gentleman about, all right, how would this happen? You know, there's a lot of hypotheticals here, a lot of scenarios. And it was like, well, if it were to happen, it wouldn't be, for example, someone going into the state liquor outlet to get a bottle of wine and also pick up, an ounce of Bud. It wouldn't work that way. They'd prefer to have a separate retail store. But it sounds like, given the state's liquor control history, that the state would definitely retain some sort of oversight and administration.
Mm-hmm. We got a comment from Kevin responding to a comment about the so-called black market for marijuana. He says, but apparently we have no problem being the black market for booze. Kevin may be referring to NHPR's Todd Bookman's story on the coverage of people possibly illegally purchasing large amounts of liquor from New Hampshire's liquor stores and bringing it out of state, perhaps to avoid taxes on that. So is that part of the conversation, Dan, in the hearings that you've been to about sort of neutralizing the black market and sort of bringing it up to the sunshine and perhaps regulating and taxing it better?
Exactly. And that came up from the commission. And again, Rick Nye from Normal mentioned that as well. And there's some psychology in there, consumer psychology in terms of using taxation to tamp down usage. You've heard this about tobacco use from among youth over the years. You know, you raise the rate and fewer people smoke. It's one of those trend lines. It'll come up again. I mean, this commission, they've met at least a dozen times. They have several more commission meetings to go, and it's really going to be fascinating to watch what happens this summer when Mass and Maine move forward with their next step of their legalization. Because, you know, the commission has four more months until November to study what happened next door or what is happening next door.
Mm-hmm. And how it might impact New Hampshire. We're certainly going to talk about that in the next 20 minutes or so. But Dan, I do want to ask a sort of broad question here. Why do you think marijuana has been legalized in Massachusetts, in Maine, in Vermont, but not here in New Hampshire? What's the essential difference here?
In live free or die New Hampshire, right?
Yes.
Well, Massachusetts and Maine were approved by a voter-driven measure. We don't have that in New Hampshire. It's coming up in the legislature. Like I said, almost every session is something like that. So that's a very, very big difference. Vermont, of course, is an exception there, and the Republican governor signed that more limited legalization bill into law earlier this year. That's a factor. That's definitely a factor.
Well, this is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello, filling in for Laura Kanoi today. We're speaking with NHPR's Dan Tuohy about the state's marijuana policy, its evolution, and its future. We'd love to hear from you on this. The number is 1-800-892-6477. We'd love to have a lot of listener voices on this conversation. You can also email us if you'd rather not call. The address is exchange@nhpr.org. And coming up after the break, we're going to hear about marijuana policy in Maine and Massachusetts. Both states have more permissive policies than the Granite State does. How do those policies in those states change things here? Let us know. 1-800-892-6477. Also coming up this hour, as part of our Race for the First series, we're going to chat with candidate and state representative Mindy Mesmer about her positions on the issues that matter to you. You can send your questions now, exchange@nhpr.org. This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. We'll be right back.
Sports. Spring is just about here, and Morning Edition is hitting the road. In our new weekly series, we're traveling across the Granite State to take you to new places and introduce you to new people.
Yeah, the moon looks very cinematic. What are we expecting to see tonight?
Yeah, people come here to see the alpacas.
Homebrewers starting out, how do you get from just whipping up batches in your basement to opening up your own tasting room?
Listen to Radio Field Trips, Morning Edition's new series about New Hampshire life and culture, Wednesday mornings from 5 to 9 on NHPR.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello, filling in for Laura Kanoi today. We're speaking with Dan Tuohy from NHPR about the state's marijuana policy. And in this part of the show, we're also going to hear from reporters in two neighboring states. With us now is Colin Young. He's a Massachusetts State House reporter for State House News. Colin, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And remember, listeners, you can join this part of the conversation as well. What questions do you have about marijuana policies in Massachusetts? Later, we're going to talk about policies in Maine with Steve Missler from Maine Public. Do you live in a town on the border? How might it impact your life? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-892-6477. So, Colin Young, remind us, when did the Bay State decide to legalize marijuana?
Marijuana was legalized for recreational adult use by voters at the ballot in November of 2016. It was passed with about 53% of the voters in favor.
53%, so not a huge majority, but a majority nonetheless.
Right, yeah, not a huge sweeping victory. Not as wide of a margin as decriminalization and medical marijuana had passed here.
Okay, and along with the legalization, did it also pass provisions for managing the sale of it, or was it just a straight-up legalization?
The voters passed a law that included very specific requirements and regulations for the industry. That voter law was rewritten by the legislature here last summer. And the regulatory agency that's been working to finalize regulations has been up and running now since September.
Okay. So where does this stand now for people who home grow? Can they do that legally now?
Yep, the home growing has been legal now for a little more than a year in Massachusetts. Adults can grow as many as 12 marijuana plants in their homes as long as there are at least two adults living there. It's also legal in Massachusetts now to use, possess, and also gift marijuana to someone else.
Gift, meaning not sell.
Right, exactly. It's not yet legal to sell, and you'd need a business license to do that. But it is legal if you're growing marijuana in your home. You can legally donate or gift some of that to another adult.
Mm-hmm. And what about commercial sales of marijuana? It's not happening yet, correct, but it will be soon?
Soon, yeah, not quite yet. Legal retail sales are expected to start here on July 1st. And, of course, now there's some concern cropping up about whether the state's licensed growers will have sufficient supply to meet the demand on July 1st. And it also remains to be seen just how many businesses will be open by July 1st. It seems right now like the early days of legal sales in Massachusetts will be conducted through the medical dispensaries, which are already operating in the state, and many of those want to add the ability to sell recreational marijuana. So that may be where the first sales take place.
Tell us about how the state goes about citing these places that may eventually sell marijuana for recreational use. What is the system that the state uses to determine whether it can be sold in a particular city or town?
Yeah, so a lot of that is left up to the municipalities. Cities and towns really generally have a lot of say on how and where these businesses can operate within their borders. And so far, a lot of cities and towns have weighed in. At least 189 of Massachusetts' 351 municipalities have barred recreational marijuana in one way or another, whether that's an outright an indefinite ban or a moratorium meant to give local officials more time to plan and be ready for this.
Mm-hmm. And so there's no outright limit on how many pot shots there can be in the Commonwealth?
No, there's not a limit in the sense that they haven't capped the overall number of licenses. cities and towns have the most control, but the statewide regulatory board, the Cannabis Control Commission, they also will have some ability to control the overall size of the marketplace.
Okay. And what about regulations regarding things like home delivery or selling marijuana in existing retail shops like grocery stores?
Yeah, so those are two things that the Cannabis Commission here has put on hold for now. We may see more on those next year. But there had been talk of licensing home delivery of marijuana. That exists now in the medical space, but doing it for the adult use recreational space posed probably too many questions for them to be able to answer under the gun of a July 1st start date for sales. So they put off home delivery and social consumption of marijuana. That's things like marijuana cafes or having the ability to sell marijuana at movie theaters or other businesses like that. So they put a freeze on those. They'll start talking about those regulations again in the fall, and the Cannabis Commission expects to get back to possibly licensing those kinds of businesses next spring.
And how do the people who voted for this, people who pushed for it, feel about how the state has behaved about this since legalization was approved?
There's been a lot of frustration because the voter law passed, like I said, about 53% in favor. Not a huge margin, but a comfortable enough margin. And then after that, the governor and the legislature here delayed almost all aspects of that law by 6 months to give the legislature some time to rework it. And then the legislature took its turn rewriting the bill and repassing it. So the law that actually went into place that is in place now is different than the law that voters passed. It's substantially similar in that it still legalizes, you know, a fairly progressive marijuana industry here. But there's definitely been frustration that lawmakers who were not at all eager to legalize marijuana on their own seemed fairly eager to get into the voter law and make their own changes. I think the real test is going to be July 1st. If they can actually get legal sales up and running and have it go off smoothly on time, I think people will sort of forgive and forget some of what's happened since the law passed in 2016.
I see. And when legal sales start in Massachusetts, has the state settled on a tax rate? And is that tax rate sort of divided between the state and the town, or how's that going to work?
Exactly. It'll be an effective 20% tax rate in Massachusetts. 17% of that will be state taxes, the sales tax, and then an additional marijuana excise tax. And then the remaining 3% is a local tax. So that will go to the cities and towns that decide they do want to host marijuana businesses.
So an incentive for cities and towns to say, yes, we do want to be able to sell marijuana here within our borders.
Exactly. Cities and towns also have the, actually it's a requirement of marijuana businesses to execute a host community agreement in which they can, the city or town can also require the businesses pay some fee on their gross revenue.
Stay on the line with us, Colin. I want to take a call from Jim in New Hampton. Jim, thank you very much for calling in. What's your question or comment?
My comment is, so I'm a New Hampshire resident, so what happens up here is what I'm more interested in. But what I don't ever hear anybody discussing is the fact that it's still a federal crime to use marijuana. And specifically, about a year ago, the form that you have to fill out when you purchase a firearm had marijuana specifically added to it, and it said that you cannot purchase a firearm if you're a user of marijuana, even if you have a medical marijuana card. And it's just something I never hear discussed.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. Let's discuss it now. Colin, a discussion of the fact that, yes, it's going to be legal in Massachusetts to sell it. It is already legal to use it, but not under federal law. Is there a discussion of state and federal interaction on this?
Yes, that's a very sticky area for lawmakers and marijuana regulators. It was made even more sort of a sticky situation in January when the Attorney General Jeff Sessions rescinded some Obama administration guidance that had basically instructed the federal government, the Department of Justice, to look the other way where states had set up these regulated legal marijuana marketplaces. So without that guidance in place, it's really up to each individual U.S. attorney as to whether or not they will bring federal charges against these marijuana businesses that would be operating legally under state law, but illegally under federal law.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some concern in Massachusetts as to whether the new President Trump-appointed U.S. attorney here might bring charges against some of these businesses. The governor and others here say that they're confident that the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts, at least, is more interested in going after fentanyl and opioids. But, of course, that's a huge risk for anyone getting into this industry.
Colin, we've got a call from Tim in Portsmouth who may have a question for you. Tim, thank you very much for joining us. What's your question?
This is the million-dollar question. We live in New Hampshire. We can't buy recreational marijuana legally. The question for the person from Massachusetts is, what is the policy on the upcoming sale of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts? In other words, do you have to be a resident? Is there a policy? Are non-residents going to be served? Are they going to ask for an ID at the store just below the New Hampshire border? That's the question.
All right. Thanks, Tim. What do you think, Colin? Can people from New Hampshire buy marijuana legally in Massachusetts, even if it's illegal in New Hampshire?
Yes, definitely. That's a great question. And that's one of the issues that regulators here have been wrestling with is may not be quite as much of an issue with folks from New Hampshire. But what happens when tourists come to Massachusetts because marijuana is legal? We saw that happen in Colorado and other states, and now it'll certainly happen on the East Coast as well. What happens when tourists come here because marijuana is legal? They go to a store and they buy whatever form of marijuana it is, and then they want to use it, and it's still illegal to use marijuana in public. You won't be able to use marijuana in hotels. So it creates this problem of how do these people who have legally purchased a legal product go about using it? And that's what they've been talking about with social consumption.
Yeah,
that would basically allow folks who don't have a home or a legal space to use marijuana in Massachusetts, or folks who just don't want to use marijuana in their own homes, it would give them a place where they could go and either possibly smoke or use marijuana in some other way in a public setting, a lot like a bar. And that's certainly something that anyone from New Hampshire or any neighboring state would be able to come into Massachusetts and use.
Colin Young is a Massachusetts State House reporter for State House News. Thank you very much, Colin, for joining us. And we'll switch now to Steve Missler from Maine Public. He's been covering the marijuana legalization story for Maine Public. Steve, thank you very much for being here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So a lot of the same questions to you, starting with how it happened in Maine. How close was the vote in Maine on legalizing marijuana?
Well, it was significantly closer here than it was in Massachusetts. It passed by less than 4,000 votes here in 2016 as a ballot initiative. There was even a recount. And so, you know, it was very, very close. And what we've seen since then is the closeness of that vote reflected in the policy-making decisions because, you know, at the moment, lawmakers are in the middle of their second rewrite of the citizen-initiated law. They tried to rewrite the law last year and basically create regulations so that there would be a commercial and retail market for recreational marijuana. That bill passed with a strong majority out of committee, but then once it got into the legislature, where we have a Democratic-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate, it passed, but then it was vetoed by the governor, and in order to override the a veto, you needed a supermajority, and it was unable to achieve that threshold. So now we are in the middle of a new rewrite. The bill is almost out of committee. They're finishing language review actually this week. And there's still a question as to whether or not it'll actually pass. But it's a significant overhaul from what voters passed in 2016.
And while that rewrite happens, where do things stand now? Can Mainers legally home grow it and smoke or otherwise consume it? No shops yet, yes?
Correct. Yeah, there's no shops. There is a burgeoning gifting economy where people are using this gray area in the law, because you are able to cultivate it at home and grow it up to 6 mature plants and unlimited seedlings. And so what you have now are these delivery services that are popping up on like Craigslist and Facebook, where people are paying for delivery and receiving marijuana, but not actually, quote unquote, paying for it. That's what's been created in this sort of regulatory, where we don't really have a regulatory scheme set up. So that's what's existed in without one. And so that's where we are right now. And the rewrite that they're trying to get done to complete would create this commercial and pot shop market. There would be no social clubs, just as Colin was mentioning in Massachusetts. Lawmakers here did not want to go that far. Right now you can grow it and consume it, but you can't, consume it in public, and that's where we are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And if legal sales do start in the state of Maine, have lawmakers settled on a tax rate?
They have. So there would be a 10% retail sales tax rate, and then it would be an effective rate of 21.5%, which would include an excise tax on wholesale products. What's interesting about that, and a big difference from Massachusetts, is that there is no sharing of the tax revenue with municipalities. And that's important because while municipalities may be less inclined to allow commercial and retail operations and within their boundaries because of that, because it's really going to fall on them to either levy impact fees or something like that to offset whatever costs they deem necessary to regulate it within their borders. And that, that's the big difference from the law that passed, that voters passed, and also the bill that didn't quite make it into law last year, where there was a municipal revenue sharing agreement. And the rationale behind that was that if you don't have municipalities don't join in on this, if there's not that many of them, you'd have what people were referring to as pot deserts, where you'd only have one or two municipalities that are willing to go forward with this, which would not do what the law intended, which was to basically eliminate the gray and black market that currently exists today.
Last question for you, Steve. What else has struck you covering this process? What's been really interesting or unexpected from your perspective?
Well, I think it's been interesting just to watch how far lawmakers have taken what voters approved and taken it to what's, I don't know how to describe it really, but it's more of they've just been very reluctant to just let what the voters passed stand. They were very concerned about what was enacted in 2016, and they've really restricted it in a way that even if this bill doesn't pass this session, then we could have the situation where we're basically like Vermont, which passed it by legislative measure, and where you can basically grow it and consume it and own it on your own for personal use, but no retail market. And that's what we have now. We've had that since 2016. And if it doesn't pass this session, this current rewrite, that's probably what we'll end up with for the foreseeable future.
Steve Missler is a reporter for Maine Public and has been covering marijuana policy in Maine. Thanks very much for joining us, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks also to NHPR's Dan Tuohy for joining us earlier in the program. Coming up, we'll speak with Democratic Representative Mindy Mesmer about her candidacy in the 1st Congressional District of New Hampshire. It's part of a series we're kicking off today. You can send your questions in advance to exchange@nhpr.org. I'm Peter Biello. This is The Exchange, and we'll be right back.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.